Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 466, Dumbo.
Or Jumbo.
No, Dumbo.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All the things people get mad about, I would think dumb people would be really upset right about now. You know what? They probably don't know to be.
No, they don't.
Because they're so
they're
dumb.
They're so dumb.
They're so, so dumb. So before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have a special guest joining us today via Skype-a-phone. It is Colby Mack. Hey, Colby, how's it going?
Yo, what up, Real Spoilers fam? How are we?
We're good.
Doing good.
Yeah.
And so you're from, what's your show?
So my show, yep, so I got two podcasts, the Colby Told Me podcast on all platforms, and I've got the Minorities Report podcast where me, at Roland Nevado, at Ezra Photo, at Muhammad Shama get together and talk movies from a more colorful perspective.
Awesome.
All right.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. Yeah,
yeah.
We appreciate it. And we also know that you're an elephant expert, so we brought you on
yeah.
for the show.
That's what I was told. So
pink elephants, brown ones, black ones, gray ones. Absolutely. I'm well versed in elephantry.
Elephantry, I love it.
I'm sorry, I was gonna make a Republican joke and then I thought better of it.
Good. Well, and if you want.
I mean, they use an elephant.
They
That's
do
just
use an
a
elephant.
Statement of fact.
That
Come on,
true.
People. We it's can't... just what they do.
Save it for the not box office yeah. report. Save it for the woke report.
Yeah. So I guess before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell they're calling it this week, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And of course, don't forget our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get some bonus content, and maybe you could be big and famous by being on an episode
of the show.
So
yeah, prepare. Apparently, Colby, when you're on this show, you get big and famous.
You get big and famous.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So
sometimes just big, but you know, it's hard to say which one.
That's what happened to me. So
yeah, man, that's what happened to all of
yeah.
us.
I'm losing weight, so you know,
I actually am too.
Yeah,
so
I am too.
So
are you
my age? I'm losing
oh,
height.
Thanks.
Oh.
Anyway, enough of all this. Let's talk about Dumbo.
So. Does anybody at this table have an affinity for the original cartoon?
Nope.
No.
Colby?
I have various images, but nothing that I can kind of grip onto. I watched it too early.
Okay. But you've got kids, yeah?
Yes.
And have they seen it?
No. So my six-year-old daughter, Mariah, she cannot really tolerate some of the older-looking Disney films.
I got you. It's tough.
Okay.
Okay. So it's interesting that they doubled down on Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
10 years ago, and that worked. Like, that was a billion-dollar movie. Then they started to redo, like, the redux of the Disney animation.
Well, like the Disney Renaissance.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. That's what we're getting.
Those are, in my mind, sure things. Like
Cinderella, but that was...
What do you mean by
Cinderella?
Sure thing?
Well, because when you go into an older property, you know, like Pete's Dragon, that's a gamble to me. And that didn't set the world ablaze. Even if it's a good movie, like Pete's Dragon isn't going to make Beauty and the Beast money.
But Pete's Dragon was also very different in that it was a complete reimagining of that tale. Like, I mean, it basically had a dragon named Pete.
Yeah.
Or not even a dragon. The dragon's not named Pete. It's Pete's dragon. It's Frankenstein's monster. But
excuse me. I think
But you know what I mean? Like, but
Dumbo kind of is, too. This story is very stretched and is more about the human element. So, I mean, they're still mining the properties, even if they change it. But my point is, like, Pete's, from a financial perspective, Pete's dragon isn't a sure thing. And it wasn't. It did fine for what it was. But, like, Dumbo, I think, you know, you're going into, what, 1941.
Right.
So there's not a huge affinity. Like, for people our age, so, like, Tom aside, you know, but, like, me.
Dang. Well, shots fired.
But, I mean, for people, me, Colby, Joe, like, just off the cuff, your number one Disney movie. Joe?
Sword in the Stone.
Sword in the Stone. Okay, Colby, your number one Disney animated movie.
Lion King.
Lion King. Okay, for me, Beauty and the Beast, right? So, like,
but all, mine's from that same, mine's
no,
Little
yours
Mermaid.
Can be, but, yeah. Oh, right, okay. But, yeah. Like, yours can be, too. I just meant, like, for, to get, like, the age perspective of the people that now are parents and bringing their kids and all that. But, yeah, I mean, the Disney Renaissance, if you were a Disney person, yeah, Little Mermaid, all that 90s stuff is
Kevin's all over here like I'm going to say Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
No, Snow White.
Yeah. Alice in Wonderland, like the,
well, I
the
thought,
silent
yeah.
film.
Yeah. Well, I thought Dumbo was your first movie in theaters, so I just.
It was the first, like, talkie that he saw in theaters, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that it's definitely a risky proposition. The original is also 1 hour long.
Yeah, it's 64 minutes.
Really?
It's a 1941 movie that's an hour long. And so, you know, and it's about a flying elephant. So to make a live action film out of that and to make it a longer, you know, an extended live action film is a risky move. And I think that that shows in the box office returns and what it, you know, it's not going to have the legs that those other live action remakes have had.
So.
And it has troubles, which we'll obviously get into.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I don't think there is that affinity, and that's its number one problem.
That is, and I appreciate them trying to go back further. You know, like, they're going to run out. When you start at 1989, and you've already got plans for everything from 89 on.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a Little Mermaid that's been kicked around.
It's going to happen. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Is that who it is?
Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we've got Lion King. We've got Aladdin. We've got Beauty and the Beast. There's no Hercules. There's no Treasure Planet. There's no...
Haven't heard of those, yeah.
You know,
Song of the South.
Song of the South probably won't come out. But, like, I don't... So they're going to run out at a certain point. Yeah. So they're going to have to go back post 89, which they've done already.
I think what they do when they finally do all their live action remakes, right?
They make animated,
animated version of the live action remakes.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. You know,
my theory,
God forbid they create new properties.
My theory was, and I've said this before, but when computer animation, like, was just taken, when everything was Pixar and nobody else could make money,
right?
I was always like, they should just take the audio track of the old movies and make computer animation,
reanimate them,
and but keep the audio the same.
But, you know, you give Zack Snyder crap because of making straight from the page adaptations.
Oh,
you
I give him
cheap,
crap.
You know, cheap people would feel if they actually then used 100% of the audio and just animated. That's even worse of a. You're not even, you know, half of it. You're not even redoing. So
I'm not talking about art. I'm talking about business. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that'd be smart. But yeah, I mean, it would be tough. It'd be a tougher sell for sure. So. But yeah, I mean, so going into this, I'm a Disney guy. I own every movie they release on Blu-ray. I still have all those DVDs. I've got the clamshell VHSs. So
that are worth thousands of dollars a piece.
Some. I mean, I've got those Little Mermaids with the
with a penis on the cover.
Yeah.
I'm always it always sounds a little dirty when you say clamshell.
That's fair.
Just when we're talking about Little Mermaid, or
any of them. Any of them.
So, I don't have a strong affinity, and I also don't really go back and watch Dumbo. Like, I've seen it a handful of times, but
it won't take long.
No, but well, I've had a busy week, and I've been out late the last few nights. But, like, I tried to watch this movie three times and fell asleep watching it. It's only an hour long, so.
Well, then, so this was a very faithful adaptation. I had the same issue.
But I tried. Because I'm like, I want to watch it just to, you know, remember it because it's been so long and everything. And God, and I know it's me for starting it late, but I just could not get through the thing. So I really just, I don't know. It just wasn't there for me. I wanted to like it.
This is a soulless. There's no passion behind this at all.
It's a joyless, bleak film. And, it just, I just can't see what little kids especially would see. I can't imagine. So
a flying elephant, that's what they're going to see.
For 10 minutes, yeah. So yeah. Colby, your daughter went to see it, so I don't think any of our young kids
Mine
went
did.
To see it. Oh, she did? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Colby, how did your daughter take it Was she in it the whole time, or
is she still mad at you?
She definitely wasn't. We saw it opening night, 6 o'clock in Dolby, and I will say your screening format is really going to probably make this a little bit more enjoyable. It sounds amazing in Dolby.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
My daughter really responded to that, right?
Yeah.
But there was definitely times where, as a parent, you know when your kids checked, hey, focus, I bought you this ticket, like, pay attention to this movie. It's just, so we did like a little, her short name for Mariah is Rai Rai. So we did a Colby Toby Rai Rai real review immediately after the screen. I asked her, hey, how'd you like this movie? She goes, I liked it when the elephant flew, but that's about
right?
it.
Right.
Like that's about it.
That's the most magical moment of the entire thing is him flying for the first time, and then he does it again in a completely refilmed sequence. Like, one of the things that really bothered me when you get to that point is like, so yeah, he flies that first time, and then, you know, and we'll get there, but he flies the first time, it kind of goes bonkers and haywires or whatever, and then they go back the next night, and it's like the same shot of the people going in,
right,
same setup, and it's like, you literally just took like 15, 20 minutes of a second shot of this exact same scene, like, just to stretch this out even more, because you already stretched it. There is nothing going on in this movie.
As per the real spoilers way, I don't want to... This is an amazing looking movie. It looks.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it's got that CGI sheen.
Yeah.
Which I was actually okay. Like, I think this is an amazing looking movie for 2008.
Yes, I think that. I think the art. I think the conceptual art designs of how he designs the circus. Michael Keaton's basically Tomorrow World, or Tomorrowland. Like, that was like.
So can we just get that out of the way now with his accent?
No. Not yet.
Good Lord.
So that Tomorrowland and everything, I'm like, the design is there, but when
the
they
production
got this...
design is incredible. Like,
yeah, it's
all
a yeah.
Russell, it's perfectly Burton. Like, it's like this. It's not monotone, but it's got like this kind of grayscale to it. And even though it's gray, there's something that's vibrant about it. It doesn't feel like it fits in this world, so it makes it fun. It makes it feel like you are in a fantasy land, but all it is a veneer. There's nothing behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And in my opinion, I wish he went more Burton, because it's still Burton light. It's not straight up old school Burton.
If he would have gone Alice in Wonderland,
Burton. Like Alice in Wonderland was crazy Burton applied to that colorful zany world, right?
Did he use
this
was
is
he
more
a practical
drab.
Guy? Was there a lot of practical in Alice in Wonderland, or was it still CG?
That's a pretty CG heavy movie.
Is it?
I'm sure he did practical,
okay.
So here's my number one thing. So looking at this movie last year, whatever, a year or two ago when it was announced, they go, we're making a live action Dumbo and Tim Burton's directing it. One of my favorite Burton films is Big Fish.
Okay.
So when you tell me Burton's directing Dumbo, that is a slam dunk.
This movie wanted to be Big Fish.
Right.
Yeah.
Big Fish was a better Dumbo movie than Dumbo because the circus element you have. I mean, he joins the circus and like has to find his place there and everything. Big Fish is a beautiful movie, great looking movie, a movie with a heart.
Yeah, Big Fist was the porn parody.
Yeah, that was the porn parody.
Yeah.
So I was so excited for that, and I'm a Burton fan overall. I mean, lately he hasn't been quite on board, but like, I'm a Burton fan, so I go into this movie without even a love for Dumbo, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this. The director of Big Fish, boom.
I'm an early Burton fan.
Yeah.
Like, well, he loses me at Planet of the Apes. To me,
that's did that?
Yeah, the 2000. He did
Marky
the 2000.
Mark,
yeah, the Marky Mark one.
The Marky Mark Wahlberg one.
Yeah, that was him. So like 2001 on, it's just like no.
Well, then I think you're not a Big Fish fan then.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
And like, Colby, he would be very happy to hear that you had forgotten that.
Yeah, he doesn't want people to remember that.
But yeah, like I'm not a Big Fish guy either. Yeah. I get what it's going for, and I want to like it, and it just like and this is I think the problem with later era Burton is that it feels like he's become the Jay Leno of movie directors, and that he's just trying too hard.
Just do you, man.
Yeah,
maybe go to Blumhouse. Honestly, like we say that.
He never will.
I mean, he's still getting results
true.
At the box office.
Yeah, I guess when you're he's not failing at the box office,
right.
That's true. So yeah, so this one opens up in 1911. We're introduced to all of our characters: Danny DeVito, Colin Farrell is an army vet who comes home with without an arm.
What a dour, joyless, sad. I mean, this movie is trying to be as depressing as possible. And I know the Disney animated stuff usually started with the mother's killed or whatever. But I mean, Jesus, this movie is like Danny DeVito has a failing circus. They're all, you know, they're trying to sham people and, you know, they're making up. It's like kind of in Greatest Showman. They're doing the freak show thing with all the
me
fake.
Like I saw that movie.
But they're doing like the fake, the freak show where like the people really aren't skilled. Like the guy with the weights is just like tossing
but
to the
midget.
But
they weren't freaks.
No, but
like
it was
that's the, like yeah, like their mermaid lady, like what?
They're frauds.
Right.
But
exactly.
Like there wasn't
exactly.
a free show without the freaks.
Right. There wasn't anything really appreciably different about them that would make you go pay money to
and
see
given,
them.
And
you know
given
I mean?
Tim Burton's track history, where he doubles down on the freaks,
right? It should have been
like it should have been.
I think it's because it's Disney. I think he probably wanted to make it weird, like that one scene, and I'm going to call it Tomorrowland. That one creepy weird scene when they go to the horror house.
Oh yeah.
Horror. Oh yeah.
House
or, yeah.
where it's like, wow, that was the only Tim Burton thing in the movie and it had a cool aesthetic. Like, I bet he wanted to do that and Disney's probably like, nope, no freaks. I'm just guessing, but this movie's pretty sanitized as far as, you know, being family friendly. But on the other hand, it's a very depressing movie.
Yeah.
The mom is dead. She died while you were gone. She got pneumonia or whatever. And you lost an arm in the war and your kids like,
and we
look
sold
at
your
you.
Horses.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And the circus is failing and not making any money. It's just like, oh my God, this thing is so depressing.
Yeah, it was. There's really not a lot of joy in this
there's
movie.
Not.
No.
Other than when he flies.
Yeah.
It's like, which is a couple.
And there are some good scenes between him and the kids.
Yeah.
Where the kids are trying to figure out how to get Dumbo to fly and whatever.
And I normally try not to beat up on kid actors. And honestly, these days, most of them are pretty good.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But she's
not good.
She was not good.
That daughter was very bad.
Line readings were just so
her
monotone.
Line readings were exactly that.
Yeah, they were just reading off.
That she's almost pulling. I feel like she's pulling like a Brando, where she couldn't remember the lines, and they just like put them behind the camera.
You think they were just like cute kid?
Yeah.
Can you act?
Can you just read these lines off this card?
Yeah.
I guess.
A shame because it really and I'm the same way as Tom. But you know what? You really can't give them that much leeway because there are some great child actors
out there. There's no reason.
We're gonna see a plethora of them here in the next, you know, 6 to 7 months.
Yeah, there's
these kid actors.
There's a ton out there. So I'm not sure how she landed the role, and I'm not trying to be mean,
her
but
mom.
It's like,
who's her mom?
Thandie Newton.
Oh, that's why she was at the premiere and stuff. Her mom is Thandie Newton.
Yeah.
Oh,
that.
And
now that you
say
that, she looks just like her.
Well, okay. Well, then maybe.
So I felt the same about her performance. Now, as an actor, I'm asking myself, okay, her delivery seems very wooden. There's something about the choices that she made that seemed really didn't seem true. They weren't honest. And she's obvious. I don't remember seeing her or anything else. And I'm like, okay, this is her first time around. But also, the script didn't help her at all.
Sure.
Just her characterization from whatever that script was trying to do doesn't fit the Disney veneer. I mean, there was nothing that was – there was nothing like full of life or jubilant about her except this –
or magic.
Yeah, there's no magic. There's
no
wonder. And every time when I think about a movie and how I feel about it, I feel like what it was marketing to me. And like literally you're going to believe what elephant can fly. You're going to believe in the wonder. And like I got no wonder from any of the humans in this movie. So when that doesn't happen – everything that they try to do just continues to fall flat and flatter and flatter.
That's a great point. But yeah, the delivery is very wooden. And I like that you mentioned the script, though, because a lot of these actors are good actors.
This is all of these actors.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell. Michael Keaton's been on a resurgence. But
Ava
I will
Green.
Tell you what. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Michael Keaton is the worst part of the movie.
I think he's supposed to be French.
His accent question mark?
Yeah.
He starts out with an accent and then just drops it and then is like just weird Michael Keaton.
He's
guy.
Just like, you know what? I don't like it.
I think it's on purpose because it comes back at all. Like in front of kids, it's on. In front of like not in kids, it's off. Like he's like a a snake oil salesman. He turns it on. So I felt like I heard it a couple of different times, and I feel like that he was really trying to be who he was, and depending upon who he's talking to, because he was definitely American. You know, when he's talking to Danny DeVito alone, when he's not, it's like this. I'm this avatar, and I am.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
That's an interesting observation. I wish this movie was good enough for me to go watch it again to check it out. Because I'm like, that's clever if that's what he's doing.
I would be interested to know if he made that as a choice, but man, it did not work for me. And then accent aside, he was just bad. Whatever he was doing with this script didn't do him any favors, but whatever he was doing.
The story I had read was that part of the reason there's so much CGI is because he kept chewing up the real scenery.
Also, Batman and the Penguin, we're in a movie again together. Yeah. And there's you can't really, you know, there's
Burton and the Batman.
Yeah, right. The three of, like, you can't really reference that they were Batman and the Penguin.
There should have been bombs in one guy's
penguin. Why wasn't Michelle Pfeiffer replacing Ava Green in this movie?
Can I tell you, I asked that about most movies? Why is there not more Michelle Pfeiffer?
So
they show up and we find out that Danny DeVito, the circus is failing.
It's on its last
leg.
He has sold
Colin Farrell is this quote-unquote world-famous horse rider.
He was the big act of their circus. Right. Him and his wife did a horse taming and riding act.
Why wouldn't the wife have been Tandy Newton? I mean, all it is a picture.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they probably didn't want to pay her to take
a
picture of her.
It was like,
that's the least of the budget on this movie.
I'm sure they just paid $67 billion to Fox, paying Tandy Newton like 10 grand so they could use her likeness.
They spent more on hay for CGI elephants than they would have spent on that picture.
Oh. So anyway, he shows up. Yeah, the wife is dead. The kid's mother is dead. DeVito has sold the horses.
And you know, right away from the beginning of the animated film, you've got the stork, you know, which is voiced by Sterling Holloway. Magic, you know, the stork is bringing babies, and the stork brings baby Dumbo. Nope, you got to take away that magic. The elephant just has a baby in a pile of hay.
Honestly, though, I wonder if they were worried about the idea of a stork dropping off a baby.
I mean, it's like, but the source material, what makes it fun and magical is that the storks are delivering babies. That's part of it.
I don't know, because there was just Boss Baby that revolved entirely around storks.
What was
that? Nobody was mad about that.
Oh, storks.
There's storks revolved around storks.
Yeah,
storks. So I feel like, you know,
I guess that's true.
They're just doing this dour, joyless thing, and they're taking away little parts that made it fun. That Casey Jr., you know, Danny DeVito hums Casey Jr. coming down the track.
Yeah.
It's a nice little homage. I'll tell you, 15 straight minutes of that movie is Casey Jr. coming down the track. If there is one thing I take away from 1941's Dumbo, it is that Casey Jr. is coming down the
track. Is there any dialogue in that movie?
And the train rides are long.
From who?
Not many. I think, the people in the circus, guy. And,
okay.
The elephants talk to each other. So when
does Dumbo talk?
No, I don't think he ever taught.
Okay.
I can't remember. I don't think so. But
it's the mice, right?
Instead of the circus, the crowd at the circus in this one, the awful, awful, awful circus crowd of extras that, Dumbo. Oh my God. Don't even get me started. But instead of them giving Dumbo the name, the mean other elephants, when they see him and his big floppy ears, are like, aha, Dumbo, whatever. And then the mom like shuts their door on top of them, like, get away from my kid kind
of
thing.
Right, right.
So they change that elephant, but there's talking elephants in the cartoon. So
I just don't remember a lot of dialogue.
It's not a dialogue heavy movie.
Right.
There's like nine
it's
or 10 songs. There's, and they're not all necessarily musicals, but there's songs, you know, being sung to the movie. So,
humans? I can't remember. Are there humans in the original?
Yeah, there's humans. Like, there is the head of the circus guy, which I guess is, and again, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I'm guessing that's supposed to be the Danny DeVito character, the ringleader type guy. So anyway, it's interesting that they make a live action adaptation of, you've already have a short movie, and then they take away a lot of main elements, and then they stretch it out over the human element that you really don't care about. So you never really felt for these characters. I mean, I think Colin Farrell did a fine job with what he was given.
He did as best as he could do with what he was given.
He was the best human character in this
entire
movie.
I also feel like Tim Burton, would you say that Batman is his kind of most famous movie?
Oh, famous.
Recognizable.
Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
That's up there for sure. I think Batman's probably number one. Edward Scissorhands, definitely.
So I feel like in this one, he was like, how many people can I get to look like the Joker? All of them? Let's do it. Because like Dumbo has Joker face paint. Colin Farrell has Joker face paint.
Clowns in the circus.
Right,
I don't
look
know.
At the face paint. They have like the red lips and they
You're
almost...
describing clowns, Joe.
No, but I mean, like that one, like Jack Nicholson's Joker has a look.
Yeah.
And these clowns also have that
look.
But
that look is based on clowns.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like his look is different.
I don't
know.
You
know what I mean? Like his look is a distinct clown.
Yeah. EW has an article out about how hot how hot Colin Farrell was as a clown. So I don't know. It's weird. I don't even know what to make of this.
And we're going to get a Joker movie. You know, I feel like he's also kind of pissed that he's like,
I don't think he wants to go back to that property.
That's the thing. He's not a comic book guy. He's done with that.
If he wanted to go back to that property, he could do it.
Yeah. If he wanted to. Yeah. And he could. I mean, Batman 3. Let's do it.
Yeah. So a real they, one. So Dumbo's born. He's literally born. And, you know, that Mama Jumbo has him. He's born into a bale of hay. And when they he's born. Well, oh, and Dan DeVito's all excited because he got a really good deal on this elephant because it was pregnant and he's going to be the main attraction.
Right.
And then he has these huge ears. So instantly he's dismissed and everyone's making fun of him. Yeah. You got bad elephant trainer guy.
Bad elephant trainer guy.
I mean, they were kind of gutsy. They offed him, which I'm like, okay.
Then they didn't. Here's the thing. He gets squished by like a pole.
Yeah.
And then when they take his body out, he's perfectly okay.
Well,
and I was like, I mean, if you're going to double down on the squishing,
well,
just double down on the squishing.
I think for a kid's movie, the fact that he was crushed by a tent pole was pretty ballsy. So, like, I don't, you know, but I, you
that
know,
had
I was,
to be a scary scene for all the Disney executives.
Why?
Being crushed by a tent pole.
Yeah. A tent that's why we pay Tom the big bucks.
Yeah,
right. And by big bucks, I mean no bucks.
Yeah. Yes. You know, they're like, oh, my. Mars needs moms. I've been there.
Yeah. We tried, man.
Yeah,
I
John Carter.
Yeah.
I've been there,
oh, man.
Yeah.
That movie should have worked.
I like should've. John Carter.
Yeah,
I'm a John Carter supporter.
Yeah, I am as
but,
well.
Right.
So, yeah. So the mom is they realize that they can get Dumbo to fly. So
yeah, this happens way too quickly.
It does.
I think. Like, there's no build.
They're just like, here, suck on this feather.
Whoa. We're having issues with, we bought it, we have a new dog, and it sounds like things are getting ugly out there.
Oh.
That's why we paused suddenly. Colby can't hear that, and I'm trying to get him. He's like, this is an awkward silence.
Yeah.
What is happening?
They must really not like feathers.
Yeah.
So,
what I was going to say is I think the Dumbo is a non-character in this movie.
He is.
Yes. He takes a back seat to his title
I
character.
Thought the exact same thing. This is the title of this character, the title of this movie is Dumbo.
And in,
Dumbo is like a fourth tier character.
They made Colin Farrell is the main character.
Yes.
Dumbo is just a little side character. He's an ancillary character. I'd love to know the screen time, maybe 15, 20 minutes of this long movie. And he has two moments to shine, maybe three if you count the first time they discover. They're like giving him a bath. You know, no one likes Dumbo because of his ears, but the kids take to him and they're giving him a bath or whatever, and he inhales a feather.
And
he's flying around, knocking stuff over, and they realize, oh, we can use him in the show. And then there's the two times later at the big act that we see him, and then that's it.
That's it. And it's all about, like, the kids and the circus.
It's all about Keaton and DeVito
and
taking the rights to the circus and about employment. Like, I feel like they're definitely trying to say some things. Like,
yeah.
Which
some things that are dumb.
Well, which are interesting when you have a, you know, multi-billion-dollar conglomerate trying to talk about the big business, buying the little guy and firing everybody. I mean, I'm a huge Disney fan, but Disney just bought Fox for $70 billion and is laying off a ton of people.
Yep.
And this movie is about Michael Keaton coming in and buying the little circus and firing everyone. Like, what are you trying to say with
this
movie?
Even beyond that, when they built Disneyland, part of how Walt did it is he literally went to Knott's Berry Farm and was counting the cars in the parking lot to figure out how much money he could make.
Yep.
And like the guy that owns Knott's, he was friends with Disney. He walks out, he's like, what you doing, Walt? Why are we out here counting cars today?
No reason.
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get a number.
Just like cars.
Yeah. I just like cars. I like to see how many cars can fit on a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little odd with the statements they're trying to make coming from, I mean, they're already in hot water with people that are like, you know, the people that are against like the merger. Like, you're buying this up, you're firing people, you're going to, you know, water down the properties or whatever. And then you tell this story and it's like, this might not be the best time or the best people
to tell this. Honestly, I think it was already in the can. Like,
oh,
this thing's already done. Like, obviously,
well, but they've been
working on the deal for over a year.
Anyway, but so the main thing is that they're like, okay, we can use this. So they open up their own main event, Danny DeVito and his circus.
Right.
And it's about Dumbo flying. And so it attracts the attention of this Michael Keaton, who is this not French American business mogul. He hears about it, and in this scene he's like Mr. Claw and Dr. Gadget. Like, he's like this ominous character in a shadowy lair, and his butler comes
and
he's like, bring me the elephant or whatever.
Well,
you know,
we should say that, like, there's a whole scene where I guess Dumbo doesn't do what he's supposed to do, so the bad elephant trainer comes in and starts to like mess around with Dumbo. And of course the mom's like, absolutely not. And goes crazy into the thing, into the, like the main circus area, knocks all, you know, and they have to sell the mom.
Yeah. That's the main thing that causes the distress, at least from Dumbo's perspective, is that he's being separated from his mom. The whole movie is about him trying to get back to his mom. Danny DeVito wanted a refund at first because he thought, oh, well this elephant's a freak and doesn't do anything. So he was already working on getting rid of the mom, but he only keeps Dumbo for, you know.
Well, he kind of says, he's like, I don't know, I can figure something out for him or whatever. I can
put him in the freak show. Yeah. It was going to be
because the people start laughing at him and he's like, he's getting a laugh. Like, we'll do whatever.
How do they do it? So he's at the first thing and he's going to be a circus freak clown or whatever. Colin Farrell, because he can't do the horse thing, has to dress up like a clown, which he's not happy about. They have a sign, Dumbo, and a letter flips over. And
yeah. Like in the process of like,
it said
baby Jumbo.
But it made a D somehow.
But it said Dear Baby Jumbo.
Oh, man.
And the D fell down. But then this scene with those, this is what I'm talking about, with the audience of the circus.
Well,
that were like so over the top and so Yahoo. Like,
we're going to spray them
with
water.
Well, they were in Joplin.
Why was everybody so mad at Dumbo? Oh, I don't know what a baby elephant's supposed to look like. And when that first came out, I'm like, okay, it's a baby elephant. The ears are a little bit bigger than... It wasn't some monstrosity. Like, I don't know. It was weird.
You know, and it's not like they could Google baby elephant and be like, oh, that's not right.
And plus, the animal, the elephant is going to grow into those ears. I'm not saying they won't be a little bigger, but like the elephants get huge.
Sure.
So those ears aren't going to look that goofy. But I'm with you, Colby. The first problem I had, like main problem with this movie, with this plot line, baby Dumbo, who he's going to be referred to, is born. They bring him out of the hay, and I'm looking at him like, "What are they?" I didn't even notice the big ears. It wasn't even that obnoxious to where I was like. And then after a while, I'm like, "Oh, they think his ears are too big." Okay,
he's also a baby.
Yeah,
like to Colby's point, like. He's going to grow into him.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a thing.
Maybe they all do. Who would know?
I don't know.
Well, I think people that raise elephants probably know.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
They didn't have any of those.
Yeah, but the
they had some old guys.
They got a guy who's
the circus
trained.
In rural Missouri, they're not going to know. They're just like, oh, it's a freak.
We would not know. That is true.
I got to tell you, in St. Louis, we'd be like, no, that seems about normal. I have no idea. That seems right.
Kevin's over here being all woke. I don't even see ears.
I just think it's interesting. Like, I know the story of Dumbo, but that maybe is another sign of how detached I am from like loving that original. Not that I hate it or anything, but it's like, seriously, I looked at the elephant, whatever it was, and I'm like, what is the problem here? And then seriously had to catch on that they were laughing at it. Like,
I had no idea.
Yeah. So it attracts the attention of Dr. Evil, and he's like, I got to come see this elephant. So he goes and
he buys the whole circus, basically.
Yeah. But he offers them a good deal. Like, so he's all buddy buddy, and he says, hey, I'm going to employ all your guys. They're going to have a house to live in. Like, right now, they're living in abandoned Casey Jr. train cars. And, you know, he's offering them this life.
Yeah, yeah.
And his property, as we're going to see, is like this Tomorrowland. It's a whole. Like amusement park, not a traveling, but it's like a huge Disney World type park with different amusements, huge hotels on the property, carousels, rides, everything. So it seems like a really good deal, but obviously, as we know from when we saw him lurking in the shadows, like it's
he's almost like John Lovitz in The Wedding Singer, where he's just like, he's going mad.
So they get him. They finally get him in, and there's this, you know, parade and everything, and they instantly separate Dumbo from people.
The kids say, they're like, look, if you can fly, we'll make enough money where we can buy your mom back. And that's why he's flying.
They make a promise, and that's why he's flying. And the other thing is, too, there's no real magic to it. Inhales a feather that makes him sneeze. So, like, they tried to suck out any magic, which from these Disney magical movies.
They made it all real life. It's
like
a Zack Snyder version of a Dumbo movie.
Kind of.
And what I mean by that is, like, you know, we jokingly say that he wanted to put Superman in the real world, which doesn't work, by the way. This is kind of the same, where it's like you take out all of the fun and the magic that is Disney, And you're just like, no, he just sneezes really hard.
Why would you do that? Why can you not have any why can't it be a magic feather? Like, I just don't understand why they had to take out anything that was in the, you know, the storks and the,
right.
It's just a weird decision. And I think that also makes it boring. It's a very slow, boring movie. It not only is depressing, but it is just a slog to get through.
Yes.
I felt like it moved faster than I anticipated.
Well. Well, you had some real...
You were fortunate.
Granted, yeah. I had to take an 8-year-old to the bathroom, so I got to miss some of it.
Oh.
That's, you know...
Part of me...
Oh, my daughter,
like
she tried to get... She's like, I need to go to the bathroom. I was like, no, I don't play this game. Yeah. But tell me, in the animated movie, he has the feather always at his trunk, right? It's never inhaled.
Yeah, I think he's holding it, yeah.
So I don't know what the choice was. Okay, well, we have to ground this to a point as why he would fly. So he sneezes really hard.
Yeah.
I just...
It's like that kickstarts him. Like, it's like all it does is it tickles his nose, it kickstarts him, and then he can flap his ears. Like, it just, I don't know. It was too practical. It was too.
I guess it wasn't. I felt like in the original one, the feather that he held on to was like a
courage or
charm.
Yeah, it was just a symbol. It wasn't a.
Yeah,
it was just,
and that's what, like, you don't need this.
Right. They practically applied it to, yeah, it's a silly thing. But
right.
So they scoop up everybody. You know, everything looks good. Like Colin Farrell, the kids, they have like a mansion to live in. They have this beautiful estate. You know, they're used to sleeping on the floor, and we saw their crappy house in the beginning. And then so they're setting up pretty quickly. They're setting up for this big show because he has an investor, which is Alan Arkin's playing his character.
He's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, he's a banker. I was a little bothered.
Alan Arkin is, I think, a very underrated comedic actor, and his delivery and a lot of the stuff is very funny.
He worked with the script. I'm most unhappy with the script. He did what he could with it, but so he's a banker and an investor. So Michael Keaton is trying to get him to give them a bunch of money to even expand what they're doing. So they push this show, and here's another huge problem I have with it. So we saw at Danny DeVito's circus that when Dumbo flied, the people went crazy. Everyone loved it, right? He buys up Dumbo. All he has to do is replicate that show.
Right.
All he has to do is have Dumbo fly.
No.
But maybe this is to show hubris, whatever. But he, on the very first show, has to have Ava Green ride Dumbo.
Yeah. He has to have...
Which is so stupid.
He has to have not Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, well, can't use her
can't
anymore.
Can't use her anymore.
But it's like... All he had to do is have Dumbo fly, and so they created all the problems by adding this element at the last minute.
Yeah, it was hubris, like you said.
Yeah, if he would have just had Dumbo fly, it would have worked. The investors would have invested.
Right.
Ava Green would have not been mad at him. Like, he caused all the issues for no reason, and so I feel like that's kind of sloppy writing. Like, I didn't get it as the, like, oh, we're doing this because to show this, that, or the other. I think they're like, we need conflict, so let's have him do what nobody would do in this circumstance.
Yeah. So they basically say that, like, they get to... the new circus, and Michael Keaton says, you need to get her on that elephant, and we need to get them to fly.
Yeah.
You need to talk to Baldy, Mr. Clean.
Dude, I'm like...
And like... Like, so then they show...
I'm like, is that William Fichtner with a shaved head?
I thought it was one of those guys where I'm just like, what are we doing here?
I couldn't
here?
Tell
What's
who
happening?
That was, but I'm like, I thought it was William Fichtner. I'm like,
but
he's
just like, you need to get this elephant under control, and he was like the last one that was here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they look down, of course... You see his shoes, and I do like this line delivery where Colin Farrell's kind of like, what are those, alligator? And he's like, sure, and just kind of walks away. And obviously we're led to believe that those are elephant shoes.
Yes.
So now we've got this montage where they're trying to get Dumbo to fly with Ava Green riding him. Colin Farrell like wants to be ridden by Ava Green as well, so like that's a thing they're working on. And honestly, I don't blame him. But like that, like they force that romantic relationship into the movie.
I'll tell you what, another problem is Ava Green, and it's not her performance, it's the script. Her character
her turn
flips
was so quick.
So fast. She is not a good person when she's with him. Like, we know Michael Keaton's character is not a good person, right? Clear from the jump, he's not a good person. But she's not like pretending to like infiltrate his evil empire. Like, she's a total bad person too.
Yes.
And then when she starts to learn how to ride Dumbo, she just flips, and then especially when it goes haywire, then all of a sudden she's a great person.
It's almost like Jason Statham in the
he's a bad guy. He killed Han.
He killed Han.
Hey,
but now he's
yeah.
a good guy. Now he's getting his own movie.
It's a bad flip. Yeah. I did not like it. They should have made it more like a. Ava Green is there, but kind of unwillingly, or kind of like she isn't down with Keaton. You know, she's not up with his stuff. So you could see the turn was going to happen, but. she was totally rude to them, totally speaking down to them, like, you're a trashy little circus, whatever, I'm a high, you know, and so
I'm a highfalutin French acrobatic
yeah,
thing.
It was a bad turn. So anyway, but eventually, so they do get her to ride Dumbo, right?
They get it all done, and then they go to practicing with nets. And I actually did like that. You posted a picture on Twitter of the side-by-side shot.
It's cool what they can do.
It's CG at this point is just, I mean, it's next level.
Yeah. I will say that about this movie is, I mean, you know, the Dumbo is a little uncanny, but like the textures, the lighting, it looks really good. And especially when you do see those behind the scenes and see what they had to work with, like, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
There's like, if you go on my Twitter, I post a picture of Ava Green and the green CGI Dumbo.
Yeah.
But there's even like a person standing behind the net. They're able to get rid of even a person that's not in green. Like they can eliminate people and make it look flawless.
I wonder if it, you know, like with The Lion King coming out, which is good. There's not going to be any human characters.
No, it's full CG.
It's full CG. Yeah. And I wonder if that, like when you put a human, when you put actual real life people into a CG environment like that, like that adds to the uncanny valley.
Yes, if you have nothing to compare it to,
right.
If everyone lives in the same world.
Except for Jungle Book, because that worked.
Few humans, though.
You had Mowgli.
But it's, I think that's a testament. And that was an amazing looking movie.
Sure.
If Lion King, and you know how they're just.
It's Favreau. It's the same dude.
And you know that the CG is just looking better and better.
Sure.
We look at things like Infinity War, you know, and the how good, like look at Thanos' progression from the first.
Somebody did post, this is the Whedon one. This is the. Russo.
He looks like Grimace from McDonald's, and then he looks badass in Infinity War and Endgame. He's gonna look so. The thing is, I think Lion King's gonna be amazing. We've already seen some of the stuff. Those lions look legit. So, but back to this one.
Baby Simba looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. So they go to the night to perform,
right? And they obviously. So we've got Danny DeVito, we've got Michael Keaton, we've got Alan Arkin, and they're getting ready to do the act. And then they don't put the nets up. So Colin Farrell's freaking out. He was like, we got to work with the nets. And Michael Keaton's like,
nets are for practice.
Nets are for weenies.
Yeah.
Dumbo won't do it. Like he's freaked out. Like there's too many people. He can't, you know, he can't perform. He has performance anxiety.
And Ava Green's not
It happens
happy.
To the best of us. All right. that's true. I guess if Ava Green's there, I wouldn't be a problem. But
maybe it would.
Maybe that's true.
Right?
You're too good looking.
That'd be all right. Yeah, the pressure is too great.
Let's not gloss over the pink elephant parade. We got it.
That's true. You're
Which
right.
Is
that's
basically non-existent. I was pretty So in the original movie, which obviously they can't do now, but Dumbo gets drunk.
Yes.
And he starts seeing pink elephants. It's a great sequence, though. It is one of the most iconic sequences from the movie. So get this. The humans at this new circus, the bad guy humans, do more magic than our main characters. There is nothing practical about what happens. They have bubble machines that blow and make elephants in perfect elephant animated shapes. They're doing all these things. This is the early 1900s. So somehow they don't have any mechanical invention explanations. It's magic.
It is magic.
And these are the bad guys.
Yeah,
so the only magic done is by the bad circus.
Sure, sure.
And it's not so it's like,
maybe that's why that circus is so much more popular. We ever think about that?
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be.
I know he's evil, but he's got a better circus.
But goddamn, that was cool.
Yeah.
It was, and it was just kind of lame. I expected a much cooler, especially from Burton.
Yeah.
I expected some weird Alice in Wonderland looking crap with the pink elephants.
We
got clear bubbles going like, maybe that's an elephant.
And maybe it's pink.
Yeah.
So we should go back. Like he freaks out because he hears an elephant in like the Nightmare Island.
I thought that was the second show, because then it's over after that. That's the end.
No, because he flies away. He flies away, and Alan Arkin's like, you lost your thing, and then he has Yeah. So
They get rid of her. You're right.
Right.
So he freaks out because he hears
this elephant who is, again, painted up.
It's no one's surprised.
It's not like, oh, my God, twist ending.
When you hear
an
elephant, he freaks out. You're not like, what is that? Could that be his uncle? Like, no, we know his mom. The whole thing is that the kids promised Dumbo he'd see his mom again, but they sold her off and she's been moved and no one knows where she is. It just so happens that Michael Keaton bought that elephant for his freak show.
Right. So Dumbo goes and sees his mom.
He flies around like one lap where people are like, ooh, ah, but he leaves. And so then Alan Arkin's like, well, that's cool, but
you
have
can't
no
control your animals.
And he leaves. He's like, call me when you got it under control.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a stretch, right? I mean, like, he flies. Like,
yeah.
Be impressed. He flies, right? Like, what? He's not obviously, so Keegan's not a big showman, because obviously I'm like, oh, that's all a part of the show. He's supposed to loop around and dip away and come back later. Yeah. And like, hello, yeah, don't look like it. Everything fell apart. Like, oh, he did a lap. I wasn't going to give you the whole thing, Mr. Arkin.
Yeah, but he's not a very good businessman.
I can install some doors on this place.
Or
like,
not even that. He's like, we want him to fly around the rest of the park so people come in and pay the money to go see him. But they don't do that. Yeah.
Well, that was his excuse.
Because that show
he did not want the Dumbo to... Dumbo escaped.
I'm saying the businessman of Michael Keaton should have told Alan Arkin, no, we want him, but it's part of the act for him to fly out over the people.
He was trying to figure out how to say that in an accent and couldn't quite do it fast enough. That's the problem.
He's like, can you just get me a cowl? I can do this real quick in a cowl.
So they go to freaking Nightmare Island, the best looking interesting part of this entire movie.
You get a werewolf,
this
a weird crocodile,
this is Tim
a bear.
Burton.
Yeah.
Nightmare Island is a Tim Burton classic OG design.
Right.
It was awesome. And by the way, you've got the Danny Elfman score in this movie. And like at this
I couldn't even tell you what Danny Elfman.
It was like Elfman light, but then you get to Nightmare Island with the score and it's like, God, why did you not go all in on this movie?
Right. Well, and why didn't you just go all in on
the movie?
Dumbo?
Yeah, why didn't you make this a Dumbo movie, right?
I don't care about the people.
They tried to humanize it and it's a movie called Dumbo. It's not okay. What is the main character's name? What is Colin Farrell's real name in this movie?
Yep. Horse Guy McGee.
Hulk something.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Too.
Well done. Well,
you got Wikipedia up. You're not kidding anybody.
But it's like, so he's really your main character, but did anyone really?
No, I didn't give a crap about him.
Dumbo. You're there for Dumbo.
Yeah, so, like they double down on the I'm a broken man. Like my family doesn't like me. I don't know how to be a dad.
I mean, it's sad, and it's maybe compelling in a different movie, but I'm here for
Dumbo,
right?
And I know you can't go for historical accuracy in a movie like this.
Sure.
But if there's one thing men didn't give two squirts of piss about in 1919,
kids,
whether or not their kids liked them,
right.
and how effectively they were performing in fatherhood.
Right. Yeah. They were just like, look, I'm going to create you.
Yeah.
I'm going to put food on the table, and I don't even like you.
That's you eat this week? Then
good.
Suck it.
Yeah.
I did my job.
Yeah, right.
That's what's hard about coming
back. I hope
back.
You don't get polio.
It's why it's called the good old days.
It's true. Whenever you go back and you try to retroactively, you know, I mean.
Oh, we got a big one coming up.
Oh,
we do.
Do we?
We got a big retroactive, like, yeah.
Should we go to Nightmare Island first? Is it the second
It's the very end of the
okay.
movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he goes to Nightmare Island. You see a creepy crocodile thing. You see all these things. And then you see the demon elephant that's all, you know, it's all red and they've got all the design.
It's got like spikes on the I guess they have tusks. It's a female,
but Dumbo puts his trunk in there and they meet. No, it's my mom. And they have that connection.
Right.
But immediately Keaton and Mr. Clean and all of them show up and tear them apart. And they're like, and then Keaton says,
kill that one.
Go get some more boots or whatever.
Go kill. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Get yourself some extra clothes or something.
Yeah.
So they're going to take the mom elephant away. And this is where, like, not only does Ava Green turn, but the chauffeur turns as well. The chauffeur is like, I've tendered my resignation.
Well,
I can't deal with this anymore.
This guy's been dealing with Keaton for the entire career or whatever. He's like his loyal servant.
This was the breaking point.
He didn't know that this guy goes and makes elephant shoes. Like, I'm just like, what made this different?
I don't know. I have no idea. So they devise this plan where they're going to.
Oh, it's a plan.
It's a plan where they're going to do the they're going to do another performance, and during that performance, Dumbo's going to get away. They're going to capture them. They're going to steal the
mom. They can all run away
together. They can run away together.
So normally you run away and join the circus. If you're running away from a circus. What are you joining?
Well,
I'm going to run away and become a secretary.
Yeah. Well,
you're going to go back to your homeland?
I'm going to run away and join a factory.
I guess.
They definitely, I mean, we see at the end, it's definitely not a circus. I don't think you can call that a circus, whatever they form. Hippie commune without any animals or anything.
Yeah, they're like we don't believe in caging
animals.
That's
the other statement that they're trying to get very.
And that's what I was talking about, about this retconning our morals onto.
This 1911, 1918,
100 years ago.
Right.
Like, this kind of seems like, you all loved Greatest Showman. Well, F you. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That was all about the freak show and the, you know, and there were elephants in it. And...
Yeah. So that the plan goes down without a hitch. Colin Farrell.
Night two, which is basically just the B-roll from the first film. Like, it is the same shots. You see the people walking in. They probably just said, hey, if you're on the right, go on the left. Like, it's the same setup, same people. They're going in there. Alan Arkin shows back up the next night. Like, I thought he was going to take some convincing from when he left. left.
He's great.
He literally just shows up again.
Yeah, he just shows up. He just like kicks his arms out. He's like, let's check this out.
Yeah.
So Dumbo starts doing his act. Ava Green, while Dumbo is doing his act, Colin Farrell, with one arm, mind you,
is climbing up the side
of the thing, of the big top. The freaks, quote unquote freaks, I guess.
The performers. The
performers, yeah.
The good guys have all been notified.
Right.
So Danny DeVito is the vice president or whatever of this company. They've actually merged their two companies or so.
He gave
him a title, basically.
Yeah, executive whatever.
Yeah, and so
assistant to the region.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so all the performers from Danny DeVito's circus are supposed to have jobs, and they did for a couple minutes, but Keaton's like, yeah, I said I'd hire him. I never said I wouldn't fire them.
He's like, so, you know what? I don't really like doing that, so you do it.
Yeah, so they're all going to be fired, and so they're on board with this plan. But as Farrell's climbing up to go cut a hole in the tent so Dumbo can escape, because I guess they did patch it up or whatever so he couldn't come out the door, the two like henchmen come up and are like, hey, what are you doing? And I think Danny DeVito, being the assistant to the president or whatever, is like, hey, no, he's supposed to be
Mordecai or whatever.
Yeah.
So then it doesn't
start like raining or something, and he's like in a storm trying to. I just remember it being like this tumultuous climb
like, he
to
hit,
the top.
Yeah,
though.
It is, because he's doing it with one goddamn arm.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, cuts a hole in it, and of course, this is where Michael Keaton's like, why are they only stealing one?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he doubles.
Oh, because they're notified that the mom has been
stolen.
But then he looks up and he sees the hole getting cut. So they're onto this.
Right.
And then
Dumbo flies out the thing.
This Michael Keaton scene is bananas.
This is bananas.
This is the craziest thing with him climbing up to this tower and dealing with cords. And then the worst actor that's ever acted in history is up there, too.
Yeah. Like, oh, the kid.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is such a mess.
It is a big mess.
Yeah.
Disney, I think it's tough because the Marvel stuff does what the Marvel stuff does.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And for the most part, the live action stuff does what the live action.
Disney's been good.
Very rarely do they have a miss.
This is their first failure, in my opinion.
No, that Tomorrowland.
Oh, that's not. Well, that's not a live action adaptation.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes,
they adapted
from a
park or whatever. But I think critically, financial would be bad. But in my mind, like, this is their first total failure. This is not good.
They've been on such an uptick.
I really didn't care for Maleficent.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like that one either.
I mean, it was a hit.
And that one's kind of
Did you really?
Yeah, it worked only because, let me tell you, that's the power of movie stardom. Jolie works. And if she wasn't in that movie, the movie would be an awful god mess. And it did make some money.
Maleficent also is not a straight adaptation either.
No, that's fair.
Which, you know, that's, so it's actually like a continuation
it's a reboot. It's a retelling because it's like, yeah, it's a retelling because they're flipping the script and like, oh, see, she's not so bad after all. Like,
right.
And there's a two
coming out.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. Like, I'm thinking like Beauty and the Beast and, you know, what Lion King, what Aladdin's going to be, like these straight up remakes.
Yeah.
Kind
I
of
mean, as much as we dog on Aladdin, like that, I've seen that trailer a second time.
I'll tell you right now, so that Aladdin trailer has worried me since day one. I'm still worried.
The teaser or the main?
Both. Okay. And they've worried me since day one. And then I see this movie, because you're like, oh, but it's Disney and it will be great. And then I see this movie, and now I'm like, I think all my concerns about Aladdin are going to come true.
They could. It's possible.
It does not
I don't
look
know.
Good.
I have no idea. I have no idea what to expect.
And that's one of my, that's like my number two Disney movie. So again, I want to I want to love these movies. It's not like me being like, oh, Disney's ruining my childhood. No, make them. I don't care. I love these movies. But that Aladdin, and one of the things I talked to Tom about off air, and maybe you guys agree, they're getting too like shot-for-shot remake-y. Like, you know, this one aside, because I don't know what they're doing here, but the other ones look like they're just shot-for-shot. But two, it really looks like they're abandoning more of the practical stuff for CG.
Yeah.
And it's giving it these backgrounds, like Agrabah, when you see him, you know, it's very hazy and dreamlike.
Sure.
And so it really takes you out of it, because then you get that uncanny valley thing. And going back to like Beauty and the Beast and some of the other live action, like the originals, like they are on pine wood. They have just acres, hundreds, thousands of acres of sets and real practical stuff. And I feel like they're abandoning that for cost-cutting measures, yeah, probably with spending all this money. And so we're getting a lot of these CG backgrounds and everything. And it just, to me, it cheapens it, you know, without that physical feel, you know, because, again, they're making live-action remakes. They're not supposed to be CG remakes.
Sure,
And so I'm worried that they're cutting the budget, they're doing too much CG, and it's just making it look cheap, right?
Yeah,
and,
I definitely hear what you're saying. To me, that first Aladdin trailer was just like, whoa, 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 we are in trouble.
Yeah.
That second one, and I was like, okay, like this looks significantly better. Getting to hear Will Smith as the genie, kind of dialing into that old Will Smith charm.
Yeah.
Like that, I think honestly has been missing. Like I feel like he hasn't.
Yeah, it's been a while since he's done that.
He's done something fun.
Right.
You know, like I feel like. He's been go for it.
Yeah, it's. I will say that second trailer when I first saw it, I was like, "Oh gosh, it didn't redeem it from the teaser." It's growing on me a lot more.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Even at the beginning of Dumbo, when it came out, I was like, "Wow!" Like that charm, Tom, that you're talking about, like that Will Smith have, like from like his mid to or, like late 90s. That's who he is. I would much rather have him out of the blue. I really hope he spends 75% of the movie outside of the blue, because no matter what, we cannot erase how magnificent what Robin Williams did as Genie.
Right.
And it's just going to work better. Even the actors, the whole casting problems initially, I didn't really like it, stuff like that. Their voices are super American. And in my podcast, somebody had brought up like, oh, why don't they sound like more authentically, you know, Arabian? I'm like, it's kind of tough. I mean, they didn't sound that way inside of the animated movie either.
They hired a white guy to be Aladdin. And,
kid from Full House.
Yeah,
Steve. But what's so unique, it's like, I feel like the argument is, how true do you want it to be to the original? Or do you want it just to be like a loosely adaptation to be something that's fitting of this time? It's tough. I feel like no matter what, you're not going to be able to make everybody happy. Somebody's going to be on the opposite side of the argument regardless. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that Dumbo so far critically has not worked out, and the box office numbers do not look good. I mean, I think this movie costs like $150+ million to make.
For sure.
And like it's only on track for like $45 million this week.
Yeah. Right.
It's a mess for sure. But
that's what I'm saying, though, is Disney's at this point, Disney doesn't care because they know that they've got a Star Wars movie coming out. They've got an Avengers
Disney
movie.
A Disney movie every month this year. Is crazy?
But Avengers is going to break the worldwide
box office.
If
they screw their
office.
Brand, though, I mean, Disney, if nothing else, is quality control. You put that Disney logo, that's synonymous. I mean, there was a fallow period,
sure,
but for decades now, you put that Disney logo on, that's quality. You know that.
Parents
can buy that. It's if they lose that, if they start making it, I'm telling you, they do care because they'll lose that.
And so I'll only dip into Wrestling Corner briefly.
Oh, okay, dear.
So WCW, right? It was
Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But WCW closed because they made little mistakes. Constantly made little mistakes. You can afford to make one big mistake and backtrack it and figure it out. But when you're constantly making little mistakes, that's going to cost
they
you
add
in the
up.
End.
That's what I'm saying.
And
they
I
can't
feel
keep
I,
doing
this
that.
Is the thing is like if this is just a bump.
It's one thing.
If Aladdin's bad, it's a problem.
And Lion King can kind of redeem it, but if they go back to a bad one, then they're.
And like I said, we've got a Frozen 2, we've got Avengers, we've got a Star Wars movie, so we've got some heavy hitters before the end of the year.
Yeah,
you know, so I feel like they're okay.
They're taking chances this year, though. It's weird. I feel like a company who's so much about the bottom dollar would like be a little bit reserved on what it's trying to do. And just like it's trying to make all the money, not just most of the money. Like, I mean, Toy Story 4, we can all agree. Well, we're excited to see it, but it's not a necessity. You know, having three live action Disney remakes in the same year, you could have spread this thing out. So if one was to bomb, it doesn't affect it. Because I'll tell you right now, if Dumbo underperforms and it's already got the critical kind of on it, that's going to put some stink on Aladdin that it already doesn't need. So if Aladdin doesn't hit, that's really going to affect the opening box office for Lion King. And that's the one that everybody's like, oh, cannot wait for Lion King. But to have back-to-back, I mean, I want Aladdin to do well, but it doesn't look as great. And you already take a ballsy move hiring – what's the director for
Guy Ritchie.
I mean, come on.
He's got some – I mean, he is coming off some stink.
He has not had. He has like. I enjoy the first Sherlock Holmes. I think that's a fun movie. I think it's. Yeah. I enjoy that a lot.
I enjoyed 20 minutes of the 2 hours, 20 non-consecutive minutes.
The second one's Lock, Stock,
and Lock, Two Stock, Smoking Barrels, Snatch.
Snatch, and then Rock and Rolla, and there's another one in there
so
somewhere.
So basically all the stuff where...
In the 90s.
It's Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn was on.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that Matthew Vaughn was the mastermind that
elevated...
Yeah,
Matthew Vaughn was his DP. His DP on the like... You're the British grifter stuff.
Yeah.
And then Matthew Vaughn went on to do X-Men First Class. He did Stardust.
Kingsman,
he did Kingsman.
Kick-Ass, right?
He did Kick-Ass.
So it's
he
like...
He did Kingsman 2, which wasn't as good.
Guy Ritchie has been now... Yeah. So is it coincidence? Or a lot of people say they think that he was the brain behind...
I also think Guy Ritchie got into the studio system, and that... kind of killed I think that killed the creative
his gritty
juices.
Street
yeah
crime
it worked
was,
it worked a little bit in the first Sherlock Holmes for me.
Those Sherlock movies are good.
The second one's not that
the
great.
Second one's a hot mess.
The first one I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, but
I guess I don't know if I've even seen the second, but I just recently last year I watched the first Sherlock Holmes.
I enjoy
that
it
was good. That was fun.
And that's but then he also did the Madonna movie, which was garbage.
Yeah,
granted he was married to her at the time, so
yeah,
kind
to.
Of you know
we've all been there.
Yeah,
So night two, Dumbo escapes, tries to go to his mom. They get Jumbo.
Turn all the lights off. And
oh,
then
God. So Keaton goes on this insane.
I need lights. I need lights.
He goes up to the park, and they've cut the power, and he's like just flipping all the breakers. And then
you get like the movie Usher kid from The Simpsons.
Mr.
Keaton,
it is
sir.
So, I'm like, okay, who is he related to at Disney? I'm telling you right
his
now.
His last name is Disney.
I cannot imagine there's no nepotism with that role. And if there isn't, I apologize. But that was a weird.
Yeah.
He was not good. So Keaton's going crazy, just flipping stuff. And it's like, dude. You're insane. You are going to ruin everything you have. Like, and again, that's the hubris. I guess you could still blame it on that character. But I seriously feel like that, as crazy as he is, like, okay, Dumbo's gone. Let's not destroy my entire empire.
No, he destroys everything.
Yeah. I mean, the place literally burns to the ground.
Literally. And so, like, Alan Arkin is just kind of like, he sees Danny DeVito, and DeVito's like, they talk about a contract, blah, blah, blah. And DeVito's like, you got bigger problems. And then the whole thing is engulfed in flames.
But they all get away happily ever after.
Yeah, everybody's okay.
Dumbo and Jumbo fly, right? They fly to...
They get on a boat.
To Africa, I guess.
Yeah, they fly back wherever home is. Yeah.
With all the elephants and...
Dumbo jumps down, and I was like, well, okay.
It's a very... I feel like this was a very preachy animal conservation type of...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Especially when you get to the end.
With the big score, and then he's flying at home with the elephant. Like, they shouldn't be at circuses. They should be in the jungle. I just...
Well, especially when, like, and again, I know you can't apply historical accuracy to a movie like this, but, like, there's some things that are just a bridge too far.
Sure.
And in 1919, a failing circus's plan for savior to be like, what if we didn't have any animals?
Right.
Yeah, right.
So they live happily ever after with their elephants, and then we go back, and so Danny DeVito's circus now is an animal-free circus, and
except
also
for the horses.
Oh, that's
Colin Farrell rides.
That's interesting. So he gets his horses to have the happy
a
ending.
A lot of animal rights. So let's just explain to Colby. My day job is I do booking and marketing for an arena in St. Louis, and so we do a circus. So I've fielded the complaints.
Sure.
And the animal rights people, and maybe this would change if our circus got rid of elephants, but they don't seem to have a problem with horses for the most part. I think they deem them almost like dogs, and that they've been domesticated, and that
it's
a lot of people do horseback riding. It's
right,
not like
that's more of an animal lover thing than an elephant is.
Huh.
And so, and that you can, you know, and now I'm sure there are aspects that they don't want you to do, like, you know, the probably frown
don't
on
whip
spurs.
It?
Sure.
Yeah, you know. Whippets are fun.
Whippets are fun.
Who doesn't like a good whippet? But yeah, for whatever reason, horses seem to get a pass.
If I were a horse, I'd be like, hey, man.
Maybe they've prioritized things, and like, get rid of the elephants, and then we'll work on horses. I don't know.
Maybe.
But this thing that they come up with, this animal-less circus, is such a hippy-dippy, pie-in-the-sky dream type of thing. And, like, who is funding this? The banker. Why would the banker, if he didn't...
Yeah, he's
if
like,
he wasn't
let's
on
go
board
talk.
With that idea, why would the banker fund this insane idea that no one in 1920 is going to show up to. Like, it's just such a weird, like, happily ever after ending.
Yeah.
No sense.
And the way that that last scene was shot, it's like, okay, so did the circus start? Was it ending? Because you have Danny DeVito kind of talking directly to the audience, like, this is the new Domenici family circus, not the brother act that I was doing before. Yeah. And we're going to show you all the acts now who still aren't real. There's still much frauds. Like, you have the guy who's doing Shakespeare in the water with the other lady. I'm like, what is going on? It's so hot.
It's such a weird point to try to drive home at the end, but like with the elephants and then the animalist circus, I'm like, this.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
And I was willing when I knew we were doing this movie. I obviously, like I said,
not a musical,
Tim Burton,
so at least.
Which, to me, for whatever reason, like the songs in a Disney movie don't bother me as much.
You're just used to that. Yeah.
Well, I also think like I expect it from a Disney movie.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I expect a Kristen Bell song.
Right.
You know, like, that's fine. This, I was hesitant. I don't like Tim Burton post 2001.
Yeah.
And I don't like this movie.
After
like,
Space Odyssey came out?
Yeah.
So after Space Odyssey, like, it sounds like you're blaming him for the World Trade Center.
No. After 2001, I was done with Tim Burton. And also, like, Kevin Smith tells a very funny story about Tim Burton where it's kind of like inside baseball about how weird he is because, you know, he kind of...
Like, we didn't know before.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you know, he kind of screwed him out of the Superman Returns gig, you know? Which, in retrospect...
I mean, he wrote the first script for that, right?
He was doing it.
Yeah,
like he did it. He had pitched it to John Peters, and John Peters was on board. He pitched it to Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers was on board. But there was a different director at that point. And then when Tim Burton came on,
he brought someone else in to rewrite
kicked
it.
Out, yeah,
oh, that's
so.
Shame.
That's why whenever you bring up a Superman Lives script, he signs it F. Tim Burton.
Ah,
So this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. And that's not a good thing.
That's a shame. I didn't have high expectations because of not loving the source material, like I said. But I have faith in Disney. I have faith in these actors. And honestly, like Tim Burton, again, because it's a circus movie, because it looked like Big Fish, and I love that film, I had complete faith in it, and I just couldn't find much to redeem it.
On paper, this should have been a great movie.
Oh, my God.
I don't disagree with that. I think for some people it would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's weird. It had an opportunity in one of the very first scenes when we first see the kids and the daughter was teaching the mice. I was like, yo, if the mice talk in this movie and then we just center on the relationship between the mouse and the elephant, and even the elephant can't talk, but the mice can.
Yes.
It would have been like Charlotte's Web. It's like, okay, we have this small character. You get like a kind of loud, boisterous voice actor to kind of really kind of give the charm behind it. And let me show you the real things about the circus. And this is what you have to worry about. Those kids are cool. Everybody else, they're assholes.
You're so spot on about this. What the hell happened to the mice? They introduced them. And then again, this movie isn't about Dumbo. This should have been about the mice and Dumbo.
Yeah.
Dumbo trying to navigate the circus. All this was about was Colin Farrell navigating his problems, and I get it, he has real problems, but like, I don't go to Dumbo to be depressed about a war veteran and his kids. I go to Dumbo to see an elephant fly, and I want to see the mice and Dumbo figuring their crap out. I want to see them flying, and I want to see them happy, and it's just none of that is in here.
No, there's no joy to this movie at all.
Yeah,
it's so weird because all the like the charm and the magnetism that you get from the Disney and Pixar CG film, it's like, I don't understand why they're not making their way enough inside of the live action remakes. It's like, we love talking mice. Like, Ratatouille is in my top 10 of the Disney Pixar films.
It's a good flick, for sure.
And it's like, okay, you could have had the mouse do what he needs to do. And well, humans don't work in these worlds. Like, we are broken people. There's nothing magnetic about any character in this movie. There's no charm. There's no electricity. There's no wonder. So then you just leave the theater like, oh, wow. I mean, it looked pretty, but.
I think to your point, I think the movies that center around humans, Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, like that makes sense. Like the animals are, you know, your helpers, right? You've got Gus, and you've got whoever. But when you start getting into Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Aladdin, granted, like Aladdin is mostly centers around the humans, but you've got Abu and you've got the bird, and you've got
the carpet.
The carpet. You've got all these different. Yeah, the carpet. You've got all these different little things around the humans.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. What it comes down to is, in a live action movie, you have to keep the magic in those ancillary characters.
Right.
Yeah.
This movie, they tried to make it set in the real world and have a practical explanation for everything. And we're not at a Disney movie to be taught science of how everything works.
The reason Jungle Book works is because they did that. Right. Like, you've got Baloo and you've got Shere Khan and you've got like these they give you those characters, right?
Yeah.
Where in this one they take away the humanity of those animals,
yeah,
and it takes away from the movie.
Yep.
So
it's so weird because you find yourself asking this question like, man, I was never trying to espouse logic when watching Jungle Book. But like, no, I remember when I watched Us, I was like, okay, I cannot turn off the logic to make this work for me because I'm looking at humans. If I'm focusing on 70% animals, logic's done. You got all the leash to just take me on a ride, and then I can focus on all the other themes afterwards. But when you try to – now I'm trying to – okay, I got the world of Dumbo. I've got magic in 10% of the movie and everything else. I'm just like, it's really fun. I wanted this to work so bad. I really did.
For sure,
like,
for sure.
The trailer was cut – like, the trailer fills you with wonder. This movie does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That trailer – that definitely was a Tim Burton-inspired trailer.
Yeah.
That's why one reason I don't watch trailers – one, I don't want to be spoiled. Two, I don't want to be misled.
Man. I don't know how you do it.
Expectations. Expectations, man.
It's the advantage of the Avengers trailer where they tell you nothing.
So I guess that's Dumbo. Yeah. So I guess let's
That was Dumbo. Yeah. I'll tell you
that. So I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And Colby, remind everybody again where people can find you.
Yeah, this is Colby Mack. You can find me at Facebook at Colby Mack, on Twitter and Instagram at Colby Told Me. You can also go to my website for all my written reviews at ColbyToldMe.com and check out my podcast with my crew at M Report Pod. That's the Minorities Report podcast. Love to talk to you all.
Awesome.
Thanks, Colby. Appreciate having you on.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, guys. Hope to do this again.
And then, of course, you can find the show on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, I guess we will have to tackle Shazam.
Well,
it's also Pet Sematary. I think it might be a twofer.
I think Pet Sematary is the week after.
No.
Oh, then we're doing a twofer.
Yeah. So Joe has issued an edict. Yeah. So,
and that's why I see some of these movies early.
Yes. So anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. That's what you have to look forward to next week. So until then, thanks for tuning in. And Rosie speaks Polish.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces. Traces of romance in our heads. Heaven's holding a half moon. Shining just for us.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.